From the latest hip hop beats to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
And now your host, Rita.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of According to RP on WJFS Radio, powered by Black Ivy Media. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host, and as always, I hope you guys are striving, thriving, and surviving in these corona-infested streets. Now, speaking of corona-infested streets, there is another variant out there by the name of Mu. So we are really running through this Greek alphabet. We have the Delta that's percolating in these streets. We have Lambda that's pop-locking and dropping. And now we have Mu that is shimmying alongside of us in these streets. So guys, I know that the weather is still nice. We still have a lot of events that are taking place for the summer. A lot of them are outdoor events, but still, we still have to be careful. We still need to wear our masks. We still need to, you know, get our PCR tests. We still need to do what we need to do to make sure that we are safe. You know, for those that are vaccinated in these streets, remember that these variants are vaccine resistant, right? The Mu one, the latest on the scene, apparently is vaccine resistant. So although many of you think that you're good to go, please think again. I'm not saying, you know, people should not be vaccinated and do, you know, what they need to do. But what I'm saying is that you still need to wear your mask because you can still get sick. You can still get somebody else sick. The struggle is still real in these streets. So guys, just take precautions, do what you need to do to stay safe, because it looks like Corona and them and her cousins and half sisters and brothers or whatever the case is, you know, they're going to be around for a little while longer, right? I mean, at some point this will all go away, but we don't know when that's going to happen. But I can tell you this. I think that the winter and the spring, we will still be dealing with coronavirus, right? So just be mindful, guys. Stay safe. Do what you need to do to keep yourselves corona-free, right? Virus-free. Either way, happy September, guys. I did not get to wish you guys a happy September last week because it was a replay episode. So happy September, happy new month. I hope that this new month brings forth amazing things for all of you. Ideas, new businesses, new ventures, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the month of September, every month has awarenesses, but we have some awarenesses this month that we're going to try and focus on. We did have our episode replayed last week for Sickle Cell Awareness Month, which is September. And September is also Sexual Health Awareness. Sexual health awareness is something that I think is very critical, and we as a Black community need to engage in these conversations. And I'm probably going to talk a little bit about that today. And what else? This week right now is Youth Suicide Prevention Week. So that's from September 8th through the 14th. So we have some posts, some awareness posts that are being showcased on Black Ivy Media. So you definitely want to head over to that at Black Ivy Media just to kind of see how we are tackling on some of these awarenesses for this month. So before we get into our preliminaries and to the meat of the show, I just wanted to take this time to remember one of our WJMS family members who recently lost his life. So last week, I wasn't able to talk about it because I did a replay episode, but Tommy Flame, who some of you might know from the We Out Here radio and the Odd Couple radio, lost his life tragically about a couple of weeks ago. And so, you know, it's really sad news for us as a family, because I believe that we all really consider ourselves family here at WJMS. And, You know, Tommy was an amazing individual. He was hilarious as as hell. Always making people laugh, always saying something outlandish. And I will always remember him for just, you know, his kindness and just the way that we were able to connect. And I was fortunate enough to, you know him in real life as well, too, because sometimes when you're on the radio, you know, we have all of these different shows and all these different hosts, and I haven't met half of them, right? But I was fortunate enough to know Tommy and to be able to have conversations with him. We had talked about doing episodes together, and a couple of months ago we were all on a strategy call just trying to talk about how we're going to make WJMS radio better. And, you know, with Tommy, he was part of this radio station from even before I got here. So he is definitely a day one veteran WJMS radio family member. And so it's going to be hard, I think, on all of us in this family to really move forward without him. And I think that the radio station definitely lost a real one, and there'll never be another Tommy, never be able to replace him. And, you know, I think that for us, or at least for me, you know, I guess we'll try to figure out how to keep his legacy going within the station. Because he really was a huge contributor to, I think, where we are now. And it's going to be really hard, I think, is how I can put it. And just pray that his soul rests in peace, and that wherever he is, he's telling jokes. Telling jokes, making outlandish comments. But I did want to take the time to just remember him a little bit, because it's a really, really hard loss. So, yeah. On a lighter note, it is now time for our preliminaries. So it is now time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
May I have the definition?
What does skeet skeet mean?
What's on fleek?
Can you use it in a sentence?
Hop into a fleek, is it lit?
And it's gonna be lit.
Major key!
It's time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
So this week's Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week is No Simp September, also known as NSS. This is a special addition to the meme calendar. There are two sides to the rules of this month's rules. First rule, do not treat any woman this month with respect for being just a female. Treat them the way you would treat anyone else. Do not shoot shots this month. If you already are in a relationship, you are allowed to continue your disgusting activities. Okay. What the hell? Okay. If a girl joins the voice chat on Discord, do not act surprised or draw attention to her. Incel behavior is so strong that it becomes so anti-simp, it becomes simpery. Incel behavior this month is therefore forbidden. I don't even know what incel behavior is. All right. Second rule, individuals aren't allowed to sponsor OnlyFans content for a whole month. Include subs to any given streamers, not just females. To both males and female streamers, tier one subs are allowed, nothing more. OnlyFans support will be allowed, but not more than $10, including Twitch content, for only... What the hell am I reading here? I guess since I've committed myself this far, I gotta continue. All right. If you are desperate to throw your money away, throw it at charities all over the world that need support, not at women who sell pics of their bodies to get easy money. Failure to go by these rules will result in self-punishment. One must shove their... Okay, I'm sorry, guys. We are pulling the plug on the Urban Dictionary word of the week for this week, because this definition, this I don't know what I'm reading here. I try to be as authentic and as possible and not, you know, rehearse the Urban Dictionary of the week, because I want to be just as shocked and just as informed along with you guys. But I'm sorry. This definition or whatever the hell this is, I mean, it's a little vulgar, yes, which is why I had to kind of like not say a couple of things, but this is too much. This is way too much. I don't understand. Is No Simp September actually a thing? Are you guys aware of a No Simp September? I've never heard of this in my life. And I feel like somebody really just made this up because they're upset about something or someone. Like, somebody hurt had to have created this definition. Somebody who is either they were hurt or they are really a cornball and they get no play. Like, those have to be the two scenarios that would have prompted such a definition to be submitted. And apparently the person who submitted this is Nut Post on IG. So I don't know, guys. I'm sorry. Next week we will try to come back with something better. I could not continue to subject myself and you all to this reading. Like, this didn't make any sense. So either way, that was supposed to be the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week. Hopefully next week we will get something better. But it is now time for the Haitian Creole word or phrase of the week. So this week's Haitian Creole word or phrase of the week is assez d'eau, mettez graisse. Assez d'eau, mettez graisse means enough water, add some oil. This is one of these, what do you call these? It's clearly a phrase, but it's one of those, I don't know how to describe it, but basically one of those things where, one of those expressions, there we go, expressions. Sorry, my brain's a little out of it today, guys. Expressions. These expressions that Haitians like to use when they are in the middle of getting some good tea, right? Zé. I don't know if we define zé on this platform yet. So I'll do that next week. But zé, I might as well do it today, right? It's not going to make sense if I don't explain what I'm saying. So zé is like gossip. Juicy gossip. Somebody's like, oh, I have zen for you. They have gossip. They have gossip for you. So assez d'eau mettez graisse is assez is like enough. D'eau is water. Mettez is put. Graisse is oil or grease, right? So assez d'eau mettez graisse is when somebody is giving you like a good zen, a good tea, and you're like, like, give me the good stuff, right? Like, okay, enough with the water. Like, where's the oil? Like, where's the substance, right? And so this popped in my mind today because my mom loves to say that. She loves to say that. It's either it's used in that setting where it's like, listen, enough water, like enough of this, like give me the real meat. Cause like at this point, you're sitting on edge, right? For this zen, for this gossip. And so you're kind of like egging the person on to kind of get to the point with it, to get to the meat. But my mom has also used assez d'eau mettez graisse when she's like, you know, when she's like shocked, when she is like deeply interested in a particular like topic or a particular like gossip, right? So it's kind of like, she would say it like, assez d'eau mettez graisse. Like, I kind of like, I can't even believe what I'm hearing now. Like, this is crazy. So that is the phrase of the week. Assez d'eau mettez graisse. So the next time you are getting some good tea, some good zen, some good gossip, and you're, you know, with your, you want to impress, you know, your Haitian crew, your Haitian family members or whatever the case is, or friends. As they're giving you the gossip, the zen, drop the phrase, I said lo metegres, and see how they react. I want you to DM me, because then they're going to be like, where did this person get this such raw Haitian Creole? Because it's something that I think that's used amongst like the older, like I haven't really seen like younger Haitian people use that phrase, or like use that expression rather. I've only heard it amongst like the Gomuns, right? Gomun, if you guys remember, the older people, the elders, right? I've only heard it within the Gomuns, people like my mother's age who are in their 70s, 60s, maybe. Though that's where you'll get these kinds of expressions. So let me know what you think about the expression. Let me know if you used it and if you were then considered official at that point. So it is now time for our big up of the week.
Watch it. And you can big up, all of the woman them big up, all of the girl them big up, all of the woman them big up, what?
So this week's big up of the week actually goes to a young woman by the name of Pamela Uba. So Pamela Uba, or Yuba, but I think it might be Uba, U-B-A, U-B-A, Jesus, U-B-A. So Pamela Uba is the first Black woman to be crowned Miss Ireland in the pageant's 74-year history. Now, why is this a big thing? Well, some of you might be questioning or saying to yourself, there are Black people in Ireland? So let alone a Black person becoming the first ever Miss Ireland, right? Like, where does that even happen? How does that even happen, right? So I thought that this was definitely something to highlight, because Ireland is definitely not a place where you think, oh, Black communities are thriving there. Although I'm sure that there are. Black people are everywhere. But it's not the first thing, right? When people think of Ireland, they don't think of Black people. So the fact that a Black person was able to make it to becoming the first ever Black Miss Ireland, I think is definitely a huge accomplishment. And it just goes to show how far, you know, we are moving as a people, right? And some people might think that, this is not that big of a deal. It's just a pageant. Like, it's not. But I mean, in 74 years, there has never been a Black, you know, a Black Miss Ireland. And I think that anytime we are the first to do something, we should celebrate that. Because what does that mean? It means that doors are opened now, right? Paths have been carved out. Roads have been paved for others to now, you know, move forward, right? Now that the door has been kicked down and the glass ceiling has been shattered in certain realms, it's going to make it easier for other little Black girls to now not only compete in this pageant, but they'll see themselves as, you know, potential winners, right? Because I'm pretty sure that many would never think that they would ever see the day that a Black person would reach to such heights in Ireland, of all places, right? So definitely congratulations to this beautiful 26-year-old woman. I mean, she is a model, apparently. She's a medical scientist. She's breaking barriers already just by, you know, living her life. And now she is Miss Ireland. So congrats to you, sister. Congrats to Pamela Uba. Hopefully I'm saying your last name properly, for this great, great accomplishment. So now, with every high, you guys know that there is a low. And this week's low, This week's low goes to you all, you individuals who refuse to wear a mask to the point where Joe, sleepy Joe Biden, had to come out and do a whole press conference to address individuals who refuse to follow the mask mandates, you know, in airports. So apparently, Joe Biden, President Biden, President Sleepy Joe, is apparently, you know, raising fines and increasing fines with the TSA, or the TSA rather is increasing fines, I guess, through the directives of Joe Biden. Because y'all do not want to put on your masks. I mean, listen, again, the pandemic is still here. We are currently actively in the middle of a global pandemic. There are new strands being created or popping up almost every month. I feel like every month there is a new strand. Every month there's a new strand. Every few weeks there's a new discovery. So this thing is not going away. And I understand that people either need to travel or want to travel. Whatever the reason is, people are traveling. We know this, right? But why are you not wearing your mask? Like, I, even on the MTA the other day in New York City, you know, we have the Metropolitan Transit Association, right? Authority, the Metropolitan Transit Authority, the MTA. And I dead ass see people getting on the train, getting on the buses with no masks, like at all. So it's very interesting to me why people refuse in these very, very public settings, in these very, very germ prone settings, to refuse to wear a mask. And it's so bad that the TSA is now increasing fines. They're fining you for not wearing a mask now or some sort of face covering. And then you have President Biden taking time away from other important things that are going on around this world to address you all. Does it make sense? Make it make sense. Like, the masks are uncomfortable. I get it. Some of us want to walk around being cute. I mean, I went to a wedding the other day. I wanted to show off my makeup skills, to show off, you know, my red lip. But you had to wear a mask. So you wore a mask. I mean, I don't understand. I mean, there are people who allege that they have like respiratory issues or they need, or it's a circulation thing. And that might be that, but that's not everybody. That's not all of you. Out of maybe 10 people, that might be one person's case. So guys, COVID is still here. People want to travel and I get it. People need to travel and I get it. But follow the guidelines. Follow the rules. Wear your mask. This is ridiculous. I was reading something just the other day on the Washington Post that said that this increase, this fine increase, is due to over 4,000 reports of face mask related incidents since the requirement was enforced earlier this year. So now basically, if you are an offender, this is what you're facing. Any traveler who refuses to wear a mask will face possible fines ranging from $500 to $1,000. Those caught violating the federal mandate for a second time, so you recidivists out there, are going to be facing higher penalties. So from $1,000 to $3,000. I mean, is it worth it? Is it worth it to have to fork over $3,000 because you don't want to wear a face covering in an airport? It doesn't make sense, people. Either way, That is the womp womp of the week. On to the meat of the show. And today I'm not going to be very long because I'm tired. I'm tired. There's a lot going on. I am currently going through my COVID paranoia as we speak. Anytime I leave the house, I have COVID paranoia. I think that that's actually a thing. I feel like I might have spoken about this already on this show, but I'm currently living through it right now. So I guess this is why I'm talking about it. But anytime I leave my house and I go somewhere where there's like more than a handful of people, I have COVID paranoia. I start like experiencing symptoms. Literally, the mind is a powerful thing, guys. It's a very powerful thing. And that's why making sure that our mental health is in check is very, very critical. So I am, you know, seeing a therapist just for general life things. I feel like, you know, having a therapist, somebody you can talk to help sort out things is important. But I am going to have to start talking to her about working through this COVID anxiety, COVID paranoia situation, because I literally... I was at a wedding of a very close friend. I only attend these events for very close friends because I'm not putting my mental health at risk for random people. So I got back and, you know, everybody took precautions. This was one of these situations where literally everybody had to like get their PCR test. It wasn't a situation about, oh, if you're vaccinated, you don't have to get tested, nothing like that. So it was pretty tight, you know, rope. And plus the entire wedding was held outdoors. There was no indoor situation. So, you know, the air was flowing, the wind was flowing, like there was no real reasons for concerns. But either way, this morning I wake up and I coughed and I had a sore throat, but that's because generally speaking, a couple times a year, I am very prone to viral infections. My tonsils should have been taken out since I was a kid. They're not, they're larger than normal. So I'm always getting these type of viral infections, right? But because of COVID, these things no longer exist. Like people don't catch colds anymore, right? If anybody is sniffling or is coughing in this global pandemic, you automatically are presumed to have COVID, right? So that's kind of what happens with me. Like I get sore throats very, very frequently because of this whole like tonsil thing. But it's like all that goes out the window because we're in this pandemic. So of course, the moment I touch down, and when I say touchdown, it was a drive. It was still in New York. This wasn't a wedding I had to travel like very far to. But either way, as soon as I get home, I drop my stuff and I go straight to my urgent care because I'm like, I need to get tested because I might have like the virus or whatever the case is. And even though in my mind I'm like, I'm good. But it's like until I see that like negative on the piece of paper, my mind is racing. My chest is like, you know, contracting. My throat is intensifying. Then it was like I had another little cough and it was like, oh my God. But the thing is that I had to remind myself that I was, you know, operating in like AC heat, AC heat, hot showers, back in the AC. And so those things can cause, you know, like summer colds or like irritation. But I say all that to say this. COVID paranoia is real. And it's real because I had it, right? When you have COVID or had COVID, it's a different mindset than somebody who's never had COVID and is like paranoid to catch it, right? There are people who've never had it, but they're like paranoid as hell to catch it. And I get it because you are operating off what you're seeing. People are dying. People are on ventilators. People are in the hospital. But it's a different situation when you've actually had COVID and had it so bad where you actually didn't think that you would even make it, it definitely changes things for you. And so your level of paranoia is a little bit different, I would say, because now I know what some of the beginning signs are, right? A cough is what, you know, that was one of my beginning signs, a little cough, a little like tickle of the throat. And then I realized throughout the day, the little tickle was getting worse and I was, you know, coughing a little more. And it wasn't like heavy, heavy cough, but that's how it started. I was fatigued, you know, that's how it started. So now when you're experiencing these subtle things, the first thing that, that happens is you're like, oh, wow, I have the virus, or I can't believe I'm going to get it again. Am I going to live? Like, it's a whole thought process. So it's a bit crazy, especially when you're a long hauler, because I'm a long hauler. I still have symptoms, or not symptoms, but I still have residual issues. I realized the other day that what I've been experiencing for the last, since I had COVID, was parsomnia. And what that is this, it's a distorted smell condition. And so I have been smelling things, this weird smell. Like, I have my sense of smell to an extent. Like, I can smell things, thank God. But I also have this weird smell that I smell throughout the day sometimes. And I was telling people, like, it smells, it's kind of like ammonia, maybe. It's kind of like something metallic-y almost. Like, it was really hard. Like, and I think I was telling my friends that I smelled like I was smelling sick. Like, I was smelling like the hospital. Like, that's what I would smell. And some friends understood what I was talking about. Others didn't. But I, for the longest time, did not Google this information, because sometimes I like to live blissfully. Like, ignorance is bliss in some occasion, you know, on some instances when it comes to me. And I was afraid to find out whether or not this thing that I was experiencing was going to be permanent. So I delayed Googling, researching, because I didn't want to know that it was going to be a permanent condition, because sometimes it drives me crazy having to smell this weird thing. Either way, last week I had it really bad where it was like very intense. So I was like, you know what, Rita, just Google this thing because you need to know. And I'm glad that I did, because when I found out that it wasn't permanent, that, you know, it tends to last several weeks to several months. Some people, it's been a year still that they've experienced this phenomenon. I had learned about other things that can cause this, but more importantly, I learned about how I could improve this condition, right? So this is for those of you who are experiencing this, those of you who have had COVID and are still experiencing this weird smell thing. You're not going crazy. It's actually a condition called parsomnia. And there's apparently like a whole bunch of things that you can do to improve this condition. One of them is smell training. And so you literally smell different things throughout the day, about three times a day, something flowery, something lemony, and something like eucalyptus-y smelling, right? And you do that a couple times a day, and that helps strengthens your senses, because apparently there's damage that happens when you have an upper respiratory infection. If there's any like head injuries or neurological damage or whatever, that can like mess with the sensories. And apparently, I guess COVID being a respiratory condition or issue is what affects this, you know, these particular sensors. And so by doing the smell training, you're actually able to kind of assist in rebuilding, you know, your senses, so that you're not experiencing this parosmia or whatever. So now you can find me sniffing rose petals and sniffing essential oils literally all day. But either way, I totally took like a whole left turn I was not supposed to engage in this conversation, but when the spirit moves, the spirit moves. But I felt that it was important because I feel like there are a lot of us out there who are experiencing COVID paranoia and COVID anxiety. And I just want to let you guys know that you are not alone. I experience this every time I leave my house. I keep messing with the name. I keep saying parosmia, but I think it's parsomnia. But let me get you guys the actual real name because I want you guys to be informed out here in these streets, especially those who are currently going through. Yes, parosmia. I was right. Parosmia. Especially those of you who are going through it, because some of you guys I know are probably thinking that you were going crazy because it does. And one of the like side effects in a sense of this, parosmia is depression. And I could understand why it would lead people to depression because you can't get rid of the smell. Like you can't stop smelling this thing. And there's certain things that trigger it, certain foods that trigger it, such as onions, meat even can trigger it. So there's a couple of things that can actually trigger the smell, like can actually trigger it, like for it to start, right? Because it's not something that I experience every single day at every waking moment, but it happens at least several times a week. And then there are days where it's very intense. But yeah, so I digress. Hopefully somebody was able to benefit from this particular information. But I guess what I'll end off on are two things. There are two things I want to talk about, two things I want to address in today's show outside of the whole COVID anxiety thing. The first is sexual health awareness. So September is Sexual Health Awareness Month. And the reason I wanted to talk about it briefly is because sexual health is not something that is discussed in our community, in our Black community, right? Many of us growing up, sex education for us was, if you have sex, you're going to hell. That's it. That was the birds and the bees. If you have sex, you are going to hell. And that was it. There was no further commentary, no further education. And, you know, at least on the part of like the parents and the community and the church, right? When it came to school, I'm not really sure how far they're getting now with health, you know, sex ed. But sex ed was not really even that thorough when I was in school. Like, yeah, they popped in the Miracle of Life video so you can see how like babies are born. But there was no in-depth discussion with respect to sexual education, when it came to options, when it came to things like masturbation, when it came to, you know, a lot of really important topics within the sex education were not discussed. And I think that a lot of us who grew up making some of the decisions that we made, had we have been informed and empowered with information, we would not have made some of the choices, right? And when I mean choices, I'm not just talking about, you know, abortion and birth control and some of these other things, which I think it's important to have these conversations, regardless of where you are, with respect to your religious beliefs or your moral compass or whatever the case is. It's important to talk about these things because when you don't, you allow children to make up their own mind based on what they saw friends do, what the TV tells them to do. And that's not the way, you know, to live life. I mean, I had this conversation the other day with a friend of mine with respect to abortion, right? Now, for me, I am somebody who is, I don't know if religious is the word, spiritual maybe, because, you know, there's that whole, I'm not spiritual, I'm religious, and I'm not religious, I'm spiritual, whatever. I believe in God. I believe in the church. I believe in the teachings of Jesus Christ. But I also have certain beliefs that might not necessarily be in line with what the church you know, is preaching. And I say church because sometimes I think that the teachings of Jesus Christ are not always on the same page with the church. But that's a conversation for another day. But I am somebody who is pro-choice. Does that mean that I will act on that for myself? I think everything is circumstantial. But I do believe in a woman's right to choose. I believe that there are circumstances that might lead to that, right? But outside of my personal beliefs and you know whether I'm pro-choice or whatever the case is, I think that these conversations still need to be had with children. I think that the youth need to understand what the pros and cons are of everything, right? Of abortion, of, you know, adoption, having the baby and giving up for adoption, of abstinence. Like, there needs to be conversations about masturbation. What is that, right? Is it really taboo? I mean, I don't know, but you can't even talk about that, right? And I think that if there was more conversation about, you know, body parts, what their functions are, pleasure versus not pleasure. You know, I feel like there would be so many things. So many things would just be different. I think a lot of lives would be changed. I think a lot of mistakes would not have happened if we had these healthy conversations around sexual health, right? What is a good touch? What is a bad touch? I think that these things are important. And our community is so afraid to have these conversations, but it's literally killing us. It's literally killing us to not have these conversations. So, you know, I don't know what, you know, other groups are doing with respect to raising awareness about this, but we're definitely going to try to do our part, you know, via our Black Ivy Media platforms to raise awareness for this, because I think that it's very critical that this information is shared and that we truly educate our young people with respect to, you know, sexual health. Like, what is that, right? Like, what is sexual health? And like, what is good? Like, what is bad? And even if you have beliefs, it doesn't mean that you can't be objective when it comes to sharing knowledge, right? Because I feel like when we just decide that we're just going to omit certain things from, you know, the youth and not address certain topics that they're clearly and actively like experiencing every day, right? Teen pregnancy. You know, I haven't even heard people talking about teen pregnancy in a while, but teen pregnancy is a very big thing still within our community. And, you know, a little, you know, sexual health awareness might have, you know, solved some of these issues, right? This approach of we're just not going to talk about it and then have so much to say when, you know, the teen is pregnant or when certain things take place. It's very interesting. We have nothing to say for the prevention, right? Or for the education piece, but we have so much to say when the quote unquote mistake happens or when the tragic incident happens or whatever the case is. We're definitely backwards when it comes to that. So I think that we definitely need to do our part as a community to get trained professionals, obviously, to talk about some of these issues, to really address some of these issues in our community. And I think that topics such as molestation and even the adultification of young girls and I would say in some cases young boys, all of that, in my opinion, it's just my opinion, falls within the sexual health awareness piece. Because I think like sexual health, sex education is like the fabric is woven through all of these different topics and all these different issues. And I think that if we just took the time to have these healthy conversations and yes, some of these topics are very controversial. They are. But we can't shy away from them just because they're controversial. Because what's going to happen is we're going to have a generation of children, and we've seen a generation and generations, you know, this is back to back stuff, right? Nothing is new under the sun. And you would think that we would learn, or our parents would learn, or we would learn, or whatever, like a society would learn, the community would learn that failing to address topics and being silent on certain issues doesn't correct the issue. It doesn't make it get better. It doesn't somehow change the trajectory, right, of things and how things go. So I think it's something that we need to really pay attention to. I think that we sweep a lot of these things under the rug, and we don't address the things that need to be addressed. And then we're so shocked when things happen afterwards. And then it's like, you know, like, how would some of us, you know, who were growing up, how would we know about certain things if nobody talked to us? If nobody talked about birth control, right? If nobody talked about, you know, what, you know, our options were. Planned Parenthood is not just about abortions. People have this idea that Planned Parenthood is just about abortions. Planned Parenthood has so many resources. And I think that just, you know, having these conversations and just highlighting where, you know, if I as a parent am having a hard time, you know, talking about sex education or sexual health, like it's uncomfortable for me because of my upbringing, like I can point my child to resources that can maybe do the job that I can't do, you know? There's so much to say about this, obviously, but I definitely wanted to just bring that to light, that as we are in Sexual Health Awareness Month, let's figure out how we can raise awareness and how we can truly give out accurate information that can, you know, be of assistance, information that can lead, you know, and put people on productive paths. Let's figure that out, because it's necessary. It's necessary. So the last thing I wanted to just touch on was the untimely death of Michael K. Williams. And so as a media brand, I think that it's important for us to highlight this individual because of just all of the things that he's done, not just for the community, but I think for Black entertainment. You know, for our platform, we truly are about changing the narrative, right? Showing Black people in a different light, highlighting issues within the community that are not discussed, finding ways to talk about sensitive issues, controversial issues, so that we can start moving forward as a people, right? There's a lot of trauma in our community, a lot of pain, a lot of hurt. And we don't talk about the root of these traumas and these pains, right? And that's why they continue to keep manifesting. You know, every generation, it's the same talks, it's the same discussions, it's the same concerns, it's the same issues. And it's going to keep happening. And unless we have real, honest, candid conversations about what these issues are, and how we can move forward, how we can move forward in a way where we're not repeating, you know, every generation doesn't have to be talking about molestation, right? And some of these other just very heavy, quote unquote, dirty things that lie within our community. And these things are in everybody's community. So I'm not going to say that it's not only Black people that are molesting, you know, their children or young kids or whatever. This happens all over the place. But there are certain things, I think, in even the manner in which these things take place, that we don't really talk about them in our communities. We don't discuss them. So it's not that these things don't happen elsewhere, but we're not talking about them. We're not addressing them. Like, you know, the elders in the church who feel like it's a free for all with young women, right? Like, we don't talk about that. We don't talk about the aunts and the uncles who are, you know, ruining people's lives. We don't talk about these things. And that is just like one of the many, many things that we don't talk about. We don't, you know, sexual orientation, right? In the Black community, like how homosexuality is perceived. Now we have, you know, the transgender individuals. How were they received? in the Black community. There, you know, there are issues upon issues upon issues and topics upon topics upon topics that go unaddressed, right? Unaddressed in our community. And a lot of times how these messages are able to be conveyed and how these issues are brought to light is through media, right? It's through the arts, it's through film, it's through TV shows, right? It's through writings, it's through books, it's through poetry, it's through various forms of art. And with Michael K. Williams, a lot of the roles that he played were roles that really shifted the narrative for the Black community. And I was a big Wire fan. Like, Wire was one of those, like, every Sunday it was get together, let's get the popcorn, who's gonna get the snacks, because we're sitting down and we're watching this as, you know, a family or a group or whatever the case is. It was, we did not miss an episode. Until this day, it's one of my favorite series in life, right? But his character was so interesting. The character of Omar was so interesting. And it brought to light issues within our community. It highlighted on so many different points. Again, homosexuality in the Black community. You know, like, we're looking at this guy who's a thug, who's this. And then we're like, whoa, he's also homosexual, right? Like, it raised so many issues, and it addressed so many issues, rather, and so many things that are not talked about in the Black community. And, you know, there are actors and actresses who will just take on any part, right, just to make a buck. But then there are actors and actresses that take on roles that can inspire change or at least spark up conversation. And I think that that is something that he did. And it's something that I think helped shape a lot of conversation within our communities, right? Because The Wire is something like, you know, everybody was watching, right? And especially a particular demographic within a demographic of individuals who were watching it. So these messages were able to be sent to people who otherwise would never, you know, be in a setting or in a room to even engage in these types of conversations. And so I think for that, you know, media, the entertainment world, especially the Black entertainment world, and those of us who are just trying to get in where we fit in with this media business, have, you know, we owe a lot to him because of the work that he's done to help shift the narrative, the doors that were opened. And then honestly, just the idea that it doesn't matter where you come from, you can be somebody and you can be great and you can be literally a star. I think a lot of us, because of the way that we grew up, whether it was living in the projects or just growing up poor, right? We didn't see a lot for us. And I think that even as adults, even though a lot of us have made strides and we have become successful in our own right, there's still certain industries and there's certain things that we just, because of our background, because of where we came from, we just never saw the potential for that, right? And I think that, you know, being the age that he was, you know, being in his, like, I think it was 46, maybe 47, I don't remember. Or was he 50 something? I don't know. I'm very bad with numbers sometimes. But being somebody of, you know, an advanced age, meaning not 20, not, you know, not 30, right? But being somebody who was, who's older and still seeing them thrive within the industry, and making impact and making changes is encouraging for those of us who are still chipping away and we don't know where this is going to go because we don't see where it's going to go, right? We're thinking, I guess, we're limiting ourselves. We're not seeing that you know, yes, it's been 5 years, it's been 10 years that we've been working in this media world trying to make these changes and nothing is happening. But that one day, you know, it can. And that even though we're getting older, it doesn't mean that the opportunities, you know, cease. So I definitely just wanted to take this time to remember the work that he has done, the person that he was, and praise that his soul rests in peace, and that the world never forget the impact that he's had, both in the community and on screen. So with that being said, this wasn't the most upbeat episode. I feel like we talked about some somewhat heavy stuff, but it was an informative episode, I hope, nonetheless. So thank you guys for tuning into another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio, powered by Black Ivy Media. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, and I will talk to you guys next week.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Sunday.
I can't wait to come back.